WLTW New York.
Well, good morning, Riverside Church. It is a beautiful autumn morning, and it is great to be with each of you. My name is Lee Sartain. I am the secretary of the church council, and I bring to you an official announcement this morning as required by our bylaws. As many of you know, you got an email earlier this week with presentation materials related to our congregational meeting at 12:30 today. So I am inviting all members who are here to join us at 12:30 after the service. The item that we will be voting on, as many of you are aware, whenever we withdraw money from the portfolio in excess of the budget, we need to take a vote. So we're asking the church to authorize us to withdraw $15 million to pay back the loan for some of our construction projects, as you see around us here. And again, all of those details and an additional $5 million for local law 11 work, all those details were emailed to you earlier in the week if you are a member. And because it's such a beautiful day and we're trying to have the meeting at 12:30, we would invite all of you to quickly make your way out of the sanctuary and to sign in with the tellers outside of South Hall before you grab your coffee and get into conversation, because we do actually have to have 100 of you signed in before we begin that meeting. So the sooner that we can get to 100, the sooner we can begin the meeting, and then, you know, it should be a quick meeting, and we'll get everyone out to enjoy this beautiful autumn day. But that is all we have from the Church Council, and I'll turn it over for the life of the community.
Good morning, Riverside. This is the day that the Lord has made, the psalmist decrees, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. My heart is so warm to see each of you here this morning, and a big welcome also to all of our worshipers who are joining us virtually this morning. I do have a few guiding tips that I would like to offer our online worshipers this morning. The first is I invite you to download our bulletin. And there are a couple of ways that you can do that. You can do that by downloading it directly from our YouTube channel or the church website. I'd also like you to share this video with family or friends. It could be someone who you've been thinking about for a while. Maybe someone is dealing with something or having a difficult time and you're not quite sure how to help them or how to offer something to them. And perhaps there's a message for them, a word from the Lord today. So if you could share that link with them, that would be fantastic. We also would love to know where you're joining us from, so please use that chat feature online and just drop in the chat where you're joining us from this morning. You could be in a different state, a different country, you may be in a taxi cab or on the train, but we like to know where you're joining us from, and we'll share that a little bit later on in our worship service today. So, our question for our online worshipers today is, how do you maintain faith in times of despair? How do you maintain faith in times of despair? So I invite our worshipers online to think about that question, ponder over it in the next moments, and when you have a response, if you'd like to share it, please type it in the chat. And Reverend Jim, our digital minister, is online, and he'll be collecting some of your responses, and we will be sharing those later in the service today. I will now invite my colleagues in ministry to share more.
Good morning, Riverside. I'm Natalie Greaves Tucker, and I'm here in Claremont Lobby, where every month our team highlights church life on these 12 posters. This month, we featured bulletin covers along with the inspirational scripture designed by our resident graphic design artist, Jamil Dahani, who designs all of the signage throughout the church and on the bulletins each week. Now let's get into our week's announcements. First up is Reverend Jabe.
Hi, Riverside. Are you seeking to reconnect with your spirituality and beliefs and looking for a community of fellow faith seekers? I'm Reverend Jabe Zeno, and I invite you to be a part of the Riverside Confirmation Program. This year, we will have two confirmation groups, one for adults and one for youth. If you'd like to learn more, join us for an information session today at 1:30 p.m., in the multipurpose room near the nursery, and online. Coffee and snacks will be provided. To register, click the button below or contact me for more information.
Thanks, Reverend Jabe. How are homophobia, racism, ableism, and other forms of bias learned, and how can we unlearn them? Join author Anu Gupta and Reverend Adrian on Thursday, September 26th at 7 for an interactive session on reimagining a world without bias. Through meditation, somatic exercises, discussion, and a Q&A, they'll explore practical ways to break bias in our communities, especially as we approach the presidential elections. Next, we have some news about membership.
Hi, Riverside. I'm Talia Johnson, Manager of Member Services. At Riverside, membership goes beyond a title, the right to vote on church business or to serve as a lay leader. It's about belonging to a community that speaks to your heart and your soul. Next Sunday, we begin our fall new member classes. To join, participants are invited to attend 5 gatherings, available both in person and via Zoom. We'd love for you to consider making the Riverside Church your spiritual home. On Joining Sunday, we roll out the red carpet and officially welcome you into the Riverside Church. I can't wait to see you there and help you take this meaningful step in your faith journey. See you there.
Thanks, Talia. For more information about all of these events and more, visit our website. Have a great week ahead.
Please stand as you are able, in body or spirit, and join in our responsive call to worship. We gather to worship with expectations. God revealed in new and astonishing ways. Sometimes God's presence is hard to take in, difficult to believe. God is present here. God is working in our midst.
Pray with me. To the great big God that you are, we thank you for yet another morning and another opportunity to worship you, to draw closer to you, and to receive a message that could inspire us amidst a world filled with calamity and pain. So God, as we enter into worship this morning, we lift up any and every distraction that could creep into our minds, invade our atmosphere and surroundings, that would take our focus and attention away from you and your word this morning. So bless now every individual, every family, every child, every adult, that we may be filled with your precious Holy Spirit, that each of us will leave this service better than when we came. It's in your name that is worthy and that we give all the glory, all of the honor, and all the praise. Amen.
Gracious and merciful God, we humbly come before you knowing that we have fallen short of your glory. In our thoughts, words, and deeds, we have sinned against you, both by what we have done and by what we have neglected to do. We begin this prayer by offering our own prayers of confession in silence. Compassionate God, we confess we have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbor as you commanded, nor have we loved ourselves. We have replaced your model of righteousness with our own shallow and temporal view of righteousness. We have judged others for their political stances, for whom they love, for their belief systems, and for their race, failing to see your image in each one of them. We have neglected your call to stand in solidarity with those who suffer, and have instead chosen the safety and convenience of silence and inaction. We have taken for granted the abundance of your provision and your gifts, and allowed ourselves to be led by scarcity, pursuing our own self-interest and selfish desires. Forgive us and have mercy on us, O Lord. Help us to renew our covenant with you and with one another. Help us to surrender our pride, our fears, and our anxieties at your feet. Renew a right spirit within us that we may live in your light and walk in your ways, bringing glory to your name. Amen. Beloveds, remember the good news of the limitless grace and boundless love of our Creator God. Salvation is God's gift to us. In the name of Christ Jesus, we are forgiven and loved forever. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from the gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 35th verse. But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. This is the gospel of Christ.
Every time I feel the spirit moving. and river was chilling cold. It chilled the body, but not the soul. Dang but one train upon this track. It runs to heaven and came right back.
Every time I feel the spirit roaring in my heart, I'm afraid. Yes, every time I feel the spirit roaring in my heart, I'm afraid. Every time I feel the spirit roaring in my heart, I'm afraid. Every time I feel the spirit roaring in my heart.
Our Hebrew Bible scripture reading is from Genesis, the 37th chapter, beginning with the third verse. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what we will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt.
When Reuben returned to the pit and saw that Joseph was not in the pit, he tore his clothes. He returned to his brothers and said, "The boy is gone, and I, where can I turn?" Then they took Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They had the long robe with sleeves taken to their father, and they said, "This we have found. See now whether it is your son's robe or not." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. A wild animal has devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins, and mourned for his son many days. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brother Joseph's brothers, what if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that he did to him? So they approached Joseph, saying, your father gave us this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crimes of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him and said, we are here as your slaves. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I the place of God? Even though you intended to harm me, God intended for it to be good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones. In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to invite our children and young people to come forward and join me. And anyone who's young at heart. So if you're an adult that wants to come up for the message for all ages, come on up. I have my shoes off because I never wear my shoes when I'm preaching. So if you're like, why is she in her socks? That's why. So come on up. Did you guys hear this story that just got read to us? We just had a story time about a character named Joseph. Hey, Jerry. What's up? I just want to say how glad I am to see you. I hope you all had good summers. Anybody not have a good summer? Okay, just me. I had a rough summer, you guys. But we'll talk about that another time. It's great to see you. And I just want to say how delighted I am that you're in the sanctuary. This is your space. I saw some of you looking up at the ceiling. It's gorgeous in here, right? It's gorgeous. And it's nice to have you here. So the story, Joseph. Anybody know anything about Joseph? Who the story was just read? What do you know? Anything? Okay, he had some brothers. Did you hear that in the story? And he had a dream. Yes. The brothers got mad at him. Exactly where I'm going. How many of you guys have a dream? Have had dreams? Okay. And how many of you have a dream for your life? Like something that you're hoping for, imagining? You want to share with us, Eli? What's your dream for your life? You want to be a pro soccer player. That is a great dream. That is a big, big, enormous dream. I love it. I love big dreams. Anybody else? What's your dream for your life? You want to be a singer. Ooh, that is another big, delicious, enormous dream. I love it. We got a lot of singers up here. They might be able to give you some tips. How about you? What's your big dream? An actor and a singer. Another wonderful big dream. Yes. A singer or an artist. You guys created a lot of artists and singers, Riverside. I love it. Yeah? Ruth? A singer and an artist? An artist. Okay. And yes, my friend. A pro basketball player. All right. All right. I love it. And Joya? A vet. A veterinarian. We need veterinarians. Okay, last one. What's your big dream? A baseball player. And play for the Yankees. Yes. All right. That's awesome. Yes. A famous piano player. Hey, Alan. A famous piano player. I love it. I love it. I love it. So Joseph had a dream. And it was a big, huge dream that he was going to be elevated, right? That he was going to be super special. And someone, I think it was you, said his brothers got mad at him about that. I'm actually going to ask you guys all to stand up. Sorry, teachers, but if you could just help me. And to just take up some space. Come on off the stairs. Walk around. This is an enormous space. And try to fill it, right? Because you've got big dreams. Can you, like, show me with your body, like, what your big dream is? I mean, this is Joseph's big dream. Come on out. Take up some space. You guys are all tight together. Yeah? Do you know what God's big dream is for you? That you live your big dream. And do you know why Joseph's brothers got angry with him? Because they thought his big dream was going to crowd out their big dream. But here's the thing. There's plenty of space, right? There's enough space for you to be big. Your biggest self, your best self. And that is God's dream for you guys. Yeah? That is God's dream for you guys as well. To be your biggest and best self. And to not crowd out anybody else's dream. Okay, so I know you're getting ready to go to study this story. I'm going to pray for us. And then our music director has picked a piece of music just for you guys. Okay? I think you probably know it. So let's pray in whatever position you want to pray in, hands open, hands in prayer position. God, we thank you for big dreams. We thank you for blessing this church community with children and youth who dream big dreams. Bless them as they go to learn and bless us as we stay here to learn. That is our dream and our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys are going to march out to this great music that Alan picked for you. Follow Miss Kiara. Have your seats. Riverside, like the children and youth, let's stretch ourselves up and out into our biggest and best self as we pray. Gracious God, as we turn to your word for us, may the Spirit of God rest upon us. Help us to be steadfast in our hearing, in our speaking, in our believing, and in our living. Help us to be our biggest and best selves. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So much is noteworthy as we enter the story of Joseph. His is the longest narrative in the Bible, stretching from roughly chapter 37 to chapter 50 and making up 25% of the book of Genesis. Rather than offering the reader the collection of tribal memories that have preceded it, Joseph's story offers a departure from business as usual to business as unusual in many ways. This is a well-crafted piece of literature, the likes of which we have not seen in the Bible before. The story is distinct from what comes before it. And the story plays with power. Power in the parent-child relationship, power between brothers, and power in the political realm. But ultimately, God's power, God's best and biggest, has the starring role. This is a different kind of story. Now, the Abraham story centers on profound trust. Will the patriarch believe God for the promises God has made, even when those promises seem far-fetched? It's about trust. The Jacob story centers on conflict and scandal. Will Jacob get the birthright and the blessing while dodging a beatdown from his big brother Esau? Tune in at 11 to find out. Conflict and scandal. But the Joseph story speaks to mystery. And I'm reading the story differently this time around because the notion of mystery invites us to imagine. To imagine God at work in the world in the places unseen and undetected. What is God up to that we miss? What is God up to in us, through us, around us, and as Reverend Jim loves to say, in spite of us? We call this the Joseph story, but this is truly God's story in which Joseph plays a part. If we understand the mysterious ways of God as laid out in this tale, then this extraordinary story reminds the reader that the purposes of God are always and everywhere at work, whether we are at work or not. Join if you want. Ignore if you want. But the slow work of God will prevail in spite of human action or inaction, in spite of human attention or inattention. In this story about dreams, God is the dream keeper. Nevertheless, the people in the narrative have much to teach us. Joseph is a braggadocious teenager when we first encounter him, just 17 years old. Immediately, we learn that his father Jacob loves him more than all his other children. It hurts to be the lesser loved child in a family. And in Joseph's case, the hurt is public. It's on display every time Joseph walks by. On display whether he's wearing that fabulous coat or not. They know. The brothers know. They know how Dad feels and where they fit in their family. What an awful feeling to be considered second best in one's own family. On one level, this story highlights parenting choices to avoid. And on another, it speaks to that ongoing dance with power. Who will reign and who will rule? That is the question for this father, Jacob, who allows this family dynamic to spin out with his help. It is the question for these brothers who contemplate murdering their younger sibling. And later, power is the question for Pharaoh, for Joseph, and for the unseen and undetected God. Now, Joseph has a dream. And if you think dreams aren't political, think back to what the children said. Think back to your own 8 or 9 year old self. What did you want to be when you grew up? And how well did that align with your family's dream for you? I raised a kid who wanted to be a mermaid. So let an artist emerge from a family that has always been doctors. Let a Wall Street money-making type emerge in a family of organizers and activists, and all sorts of trouble can break loose. Dreams are political.
17-year-old Joseph had a dream. He and his brothers were binding sheaves in the field, and suddenly his sheaf rose and stood upright. And then his brother's sheaves gathered around it and bowed down. And the text says they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. On top of Dad loving Joseph more, the brothers found this dream of Joseph's elevation way too much to take. And they made plans to murder the dreamer. They were out in the fields one day when they saw Joseph approaching from a distance. "Here comes this dreamer," they said. "Let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." According to Professor Catherine Schifferdecker, these same words from Genesis appear on a plaque at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee, where Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered. "Let us kill him now and throw him into one of the pits, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Dreams are political, church. King's dream lives on, but take note that imagination and dreams upset the status quo, makes the empire feral and willing to murder. Lifting up the great commandment to love, believing in and holding out for a world where strangers are neighbors, this is radical stuff. Forgiveness, turning the other cheek, loving our enemies, not returning evil for evil. Even imagining a world where that is possible, leaning into that dream, that will get you killed. Dreams are political. To say that another world, another church, another family is possible is threatening. It means dynamics have to change. To dream of a world in which Black lives matter, where women's rights are human rights, where no human is illegal, where science is real, where love is love and kindness is everything. This is powerful, imaginative, dangerous business. And it is at the heart of God. But why wouldn't God's people be on board with God's dream, you might ask? Because God's dream is unsettling. It imagines new possibilities, and new possibilities disrupt power in families, in churches, in government, and in the world. No one bows down to the youngest kid. No one asks children what they need. Why should we center marginalized people? What do they know? That isn't how things are done. It certainly isn't the way we've always done it. And these older brothers give a deadly demonstration of what it looks like to hang on to power above all else. The old guard in this family will do everything in their power to maintain the situation they are accustomed to. They will stop at nothing, not even murder. So think of all the old guard situations that you know. Those images from the civil rights era, the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church, and the murder of four little girls. That was about people wanting to hold on to power. Think of churches that squabble over the Sunday school curriculum, the hymns, the color of the carpet, or some other such nonsense, and run their pastors and music directors out of town on a rail to hold on to power. Think of families where girls step out of the prescribed gender norm, and they're cut off from relationship for wanting to learn, to lead, or to answer God's call to preach because people want to hold on to power and deny it to women and girls. We twist ourselves into painful knots when we cannot slip into God's power and God's flow, when we cannot let go of what we think it has to be. Joseph's brothers saw the changes in their family as a death-dealing threat. And folks who love wielding power over others will stop at nothing. The empire will stop at nothing. The matriarchs and patriarchs in some churches will stop at nothing to maintain the world that is over the dream of what could be. Fortunately, the brothers don't kill Joseph, but they figure they may as well make some money from their dastardly deed. So they sell him into slavery in a foreign land. And they lie to their father. They say Joseph was killed by a wild animal. And take note, when you fight to maintain power over others, it often involves deceit and half-truths. You may find yourself shouting, "You know me, I'm always going to tell you the truth." But Walter Brueggemann said, "Resistance to the dream requires endless deception." When we are out to win, to maintain our power, like the brothers, resistance to the dream requires our endless deception. This is an extraordinary story. I encourage you to go back and read from chapter 37 to 50. Joseph starts out a slave in Egypt and rises through a series of events to become the right-hand man of Pharaoh, the most powerful person in the land. Some people have said Joseph gets into bed with power, gets into bed with empire. But what is also true is that his brother's over-the-top betrayal of him that sees him sold into slavery positions him to ensure that they and their families have food during a horrific famine. Indeed, the brothers do bow down to Joseph. Indeed, Joseph does reign over them. Yet, in spite of the fact that he could obliterate his brothers for their shabby treatment of him, in spite of the fact that the brothers are undeserving of his forgiveness, in spite of the fact that Joseph has the full force of empire behind him, Joseph does no harm. He has the power, and he does no harm. Can you imagine doing no harm? The brothers respond to Joseph's teenage dreams with a depraved level of wickedness in spite of their disregard. Joseph does no harm. Let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." How extraordinary that Joseph does no harm, but rather recognizes that he is not God, and that God has been acting in the unseen and unnoticed spaces. Joseph says to his brothers, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do me harm, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. In spite of the brothers, in spite of egotistical, murderous humans, God's dream is still at work." Dr. Andrea White, is she here? Thank you so much. You were just in my head this week as I was writing. Dr. White called God the great in spite of. Don't you just love that? When we are the brothers, God is at work. When we are the hands-off father, Jacob, pitting children against one another, God is at work. When we are Joseph, obnoxious and unskilled in the ways we communicate with others, when we are in partnership with empire, the great in spite of, God is still at work. I was a little down this week because of a variety of things happening in the world, but writing this sermon was such a gift because it reminded me, church, that this is God's story, and it's a really good one. We are in the midst of growing pains always in our lives and in our church. If we're living, we're growing. Thanks be to God. And some of us are carrying heavy burdens. Some of us are navigating oversized challenges. I mentioned last week that the entire clergy team, save Reverend Jim Keat, has turned over since I got here. Members are lamenting that they can't just do what they used to do here at the Riverside Church.
It's still congregational, though.
Amen. Congregational does not mean we do whatever we want to do. I understand that feelings have been hurt. We are human and our feelings are going to get hurt. And there are days when the growing pains of life and church are kicking our butts. But the hope in this story is that in God's perfect timing, we got to walk with Joseph this morning and receive the healing balm that perhaps we all need to receive. This reminder that our story is God's story. This reminder that all the stories belong to God. And we each, like Joseph, play only a part, the part that we've been given. That we are our best and biggest selves, hopeful, but without crowding out someone else. Our best and biggest selves, as the young people showed us this morning. We play the part that we've been given, remembering the great in spite of. Remembering the purposes of God are always and everywhere at work, whether we are at work or not. Join if you want. Ignore if you want. But the slow work of God will prevail. In spite of human action or inaction, in spite of human attention or inattention, in spite of dictators and folks trying to hang on to power, In this story about dreams, God is the dream keeper, always at work, in us, through us, around us, and most mysteriously, and thanks be to God, in spite of us. Amen. To God be the glory.
WLTW New York, iHeartRadio's number one streaming music radio station in the entire USA.
Sometimes unbalanced, and you bear the weight of all that has to be. I hope you see that you can lean on me, and together we can calm the stormy seas. When love's so strong and so unselfish, and I tell you now that I made a vow. Everybody's got